When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Aren't you interested in learning breakthrough wealth building strategies, such as how to flip a home in less than 2 weeks using other people's money with no real estate license, or how to build a low-cost home-based business? You can discover how to take passive income from any source and invest it into real estate, stocks, or business to become financially independent investing in any market with Residual Roads Business Institute. Collaborate with Andre and other Residual Roads advisors to create a free action plan and start implementing strategies today. Go to www.residualroads.com or email info@residualroads.com. Welcome to the Investing Uncensored podcast. You've been searching for different ways to become financially independent or generate passive income to live out your life's purpose as you've seen others do it, but need insight on how. Well, get excited because here you'll discover the tips and resources to fulfill that need. Andre Stewart has spent more than a decade successfully making it happen for himself and others. This is the Investing Uncensored podcast. And now here's your host, Andre Stewart.
What is going on, guys? It has been a while since I've been able to record. I've been busy. The mobile app is getting ready to come out. The book, Real Estate Investing Diet, we just finished the cover. And then I just linked up with one of the largest property portals for investments in real estate in Medellin. So I'm putting together a package right now for quite a few investors. It was great, man. I was excited to get that relationship. It's huge. It's going to be big for InvestFAR. And just for myself and other people, it's going to be a huge opportunity because of if you're investing with US dollar in Colombia, man, you're going to be able to get some great deals. So I'm doing the documentary on YouTube. And it's going to be called, I'm not sure on the name yet, but right now it's going to be called Building a Multi-Million Dollar Real Estate Investment Company or Firm in Medellin. And so I'm excited about that because, I mean, if I can do this in another country where, I speak a little bit of Spanish, but I'm about to build a multi-million dollar real estate investment firm in another country without using my own money. I'm going to have to use a little bit of my own money to get the first property so I can get my visa. So I don't have to worry about, you know, leaving every 2 weeks or not being able to stay in the country past 180 days. So my first thing I'm going to do is buy a property for myself and go through the entire process. But I'm going to release this sometime after my book is out. But so right now I'm just, you know, gathering content. I'm excited about that, man. So that's kind of what I've been busy doing, just building different relationships in Colombia. In Latin America, because the first thing I wanted to do with InvestFAR was capture the U.S. market, which I did. I got a bunch of asset managers that give me properties for InvestFAR. And then the next market I wanted to go to was Latin America. I'm able to do that now with this company that I partnered with in Medellin. They only do, you know, investment properties in Medellin, but I know another company that I'm going to, you know, link up with as well on next time around. And they do real estate investment, you know, throughout all of Latin America from land, agriculture, real estate in like resorts in Cancun, they do everything. So I'm going to, you know, dip my toes in with the first company first and see how that goes. And then I'm going to, you know, gradually link up with them. I gotta get the first couple of properties in Colombia going and smooth and having, what do you call, testimonials for other people. And then I'll branch out into the other things. But right now, I really love Medellin. I think that's where the next, I would say, big thing is going to be at. I mean, who wouldn't want to get in on the ground floor of some infrastructure building. I really think, you know, Medellin is going to be like Barcelona in the next 10 or 15 years. I mean, the growth is like 10% year over year. But anyway, one of the things that I'm going to talk about today is I think it's about to get real based on what I've seen economically in the U.S. or globally. I mean, the food shortages that are happening. It's so crazy because, you know, being in Colombia and then coming back to the States, it seemed like the world's going to end. It's so crazy how, a couple of my friends flew over and I have friends there that came back. And it's like, I told them, I was like, man, do you see the difference with being in a third world country and then being in the U.S.? There's a very stark difference between the two countries. And the U.S. is more like a third world country than Colombia is, which is so crazy. Colombia is, it seems like there's more structure. The country's calm. Obviously, there are certain parts, but for the most part, it's not like the U.S. You know, you get back and then, you know, certain cities are, you know, 10 or 15 people are getting killed at the grocery store, or National Guards coming in because people are partying too hard. Man, it's out of control. It's funny because I was talking to a couple of people in Colombia and they were like, oh, I want to go to the U.S. And I'm like, why? They was like, well, I was like, what's your perception of the U.S.? They was like, well, you know, you can make more money there. And then it seems like the U.S. is super strict and they feel like Colombia is strict, which it's definitely not in comparison to the U.S., depending on where you are. You know what I mean? There's a misconception of the U.S. for people that aren't here. But like I said, when you get back, man, the first thing you do when you get down, it just seems like there's chaos. It really seemed like the world's coming to an end. So I've traveled out of the country many times and I've never felt the tension that I feel now coming into the U.S. I don't know if it's going to be in the next 3 or 4 months or year, but you feel the energy in the U.S. You just feel the difference between being somewhere else and then coming to the States. I don't know, man. I'm really concerned. You know, I 2 years ago before COVID hit, I was in, you know, Madrid, Barcelona, London, a couple of different places, Canada, and the U.S. never felt like it does right now. And it makes sense. We're coming off a pandemic and, you know, unemployment's at an all-time high. But it's still a weird feeling, you know, going somewhere else and coming back. And I don't know what that means. I have no idea because I've never experienced anything like that. So it's going to be interesting. But what I do know is that being back in L.A., I was talking to a couple people and this guy at a restaurant saying it's picking up since L.A. is back open now. People are coming in and people are moving around a lot more. And the guy was like, well, business is booming, but we can't get people to come to work. And so the issue is people are getting paid more on unemployment than they were getting having a job. If you were making $2,000 a month working as a valet parker or whatever you did, a server, whatever, and now you're getting $4,000 from the government on unemployment, why would you come back to work? It wouldn't even make sense. That would be stupid. Honestly, it would be. Just to say you have a job, I mean, come on, man. So I get why people aren't coming back. It's not their fault that the government did something stupid and they're just giving away money and is making the economy worse. And so this is just the beginning. So you got businesses that were already going out of business because they weren't open. And now you're going to have probably more businesses that are going out of business because they can't service the clients that are coming in. You know what I mean? So yeah, man, it's going to be interesting. And I think the unemployment benefit, it's supposed to last until September. So can you imagine all these businesses, they might be able to expand and grow rapidly, but they can't because they can't bring on enough employees? Can you imagine going out of business because you couldn't hire people to help you and you had the money to do it or whatever the case is? Man, it's just an interesting time right now. And it's at no fault of people that are on unemployment. You know what I mean? They're taking advantage of something good. I mean, I can't fault the people that are making 120% more than they were making or at 120%. Because it's funny because when you're on unemployment, I've been on unemployment before, typically it's 70% of what your salary was. And that depends on what your salary was. So like if you're making 110 grand, I think the max you can get is like 3,000 a month, 4,000 a month. And, you know, if you're making that much, you're probably bringing in 10, you know, 8 or 10 a month. And so, you know, you're capped at like 4 grand. But other people that work in the service industry, and again, if you're at 70% of what your salary was, they'd be bringing in probably, you know, 1,500 like $250 a week or something like that. It's nothing crazy. But now they're bringing in like $4,000 a month. So, I mean, they really messed it up big time, man. Bad, and all this money being printed. They're talking about printing another $3 trillion. I mean, I don't even understand. Where do you think this money's going to come from? I seen something the other day, 2 days ago. They're talking about making people pay per mile to drive in the U.S. So, I mean, if you have to commute to work, you're going to have to start paying per mile. It's so crazy because, you know, as right now, if you have a business, you get to write off the miles. I think it's like 50 cents a mile, you get to write it off. So, I mean, that benefit is great when you have a business because you're, you know, you drive around, you do a lot of, especially if you do real estate, you're driving around looking at properties and you can write off those miles. But now they're going to reverse that. So instead of you being able to do that, now you have to pay to commute. So not only are you sitting in traffic for 2 hours or whatever the case, but now you got to pay to drive and sit in traffic, man. They got to get the money back somehow. And I don't think people understand that. They're just looking at, oh, the government's giving away money and all this, and they're taking advantage of it. But it's going to end badly, man. It has no choice just based on basic economics. It has to end badly. And the Fed is, you know, talking about it's going to be temporary inflation. Man, please. Look at the Treasury yields rising. Everyone knows. Everyone's worried about inflation. It's ridiculous. Look, the housing market. I mean, I just sold a house. We put the thing on the market. It was gone in less than 24 hours. And we got 5,000 more than we wanted. About, that's why like 20% over asking than what we wanted. I think within the first 7 hours, we had 12 showings. We listed the property at night. By noon, we had 12 showings. And then we had one on an offer, you know, by the end of the day. So I was watching something else. I was seeing this guy in Toronto was selling his garage for $900,000, a little garage between two houses. It was super small. I don't even know how you can fit a car in there, maybe a motorcycle, $900,000. This is in Toronto. It's just crazy out here, man. I'm benefiting right now. Obviously, I'm in real estate. I'm in stocks. Like, that's just how I survive. I mean, I don't have a job like that. So I'm taking advantage of what's going on from even the government, you know what I mean? They're giving away money and I'm taking it because it's like, if you guys want to be stupid and just give away money, then that's up to you. You know what I mean? Obviously, my business is, I can get the money that I'm applying for because if not, I wouldn't be able to get it. But, or anything that I've applied for, I've been able to get it legally. But it's just crazy because, again, there's a lot of people out here taking advantage of them giving away money and it's just going to have an adverse effect. And again, it's no one's fault that's benefiting from it. You know what I mean? That's what we've been paying taxes. I mean, I've been working since I was 12. I was my first job. I was a scorekeeper at a rec center. You know what I mean? At 12. So I've been working. You know, I worked at Taco Bell at 16, 15, actually. So I've been working a long time and I've been paying taxes for a while. So I'm just getting my money back that I paid. It's funny because in my 20s, I got something that said if I were to get disabled or anything right now, I'm good. That's how long I've been working. So by the time I hit my 20s, I was fully vested basically to be able to take advantage of getting money from the government. But anyway, so I get it. They're giving us, some people, the money that we've worked for over the, you know, past couple of years, but it's unnecessary right now, that, you know, and then they're going to, you know, tax us however they're going to tax us for, I don't know, man. They're going to come up with some creative ways to tax us. So, but anyway, back to what I was saying, we're going to get to a point where this is going to be deflationary. You know what I mean? If they keep printing money and they're giving it to us, an economy GDP is based off production. And so if you're not producing anything, how's your economy, you know, growing or booming? 23% of our GDP is coming from the government right now. That is ridiculous. That's insane. So, you know, if you print this much money and putting it into the market and you're not producing anything, of course that's going to catch up to you. It's impossible for it not to. And for people that think this is going to, I don't know what people are thinking. You know what I mean? I don't know if they're thinking nothing's going to happen or this is great. They're going to keep printing money. But I mean, man, anyway, I just want you guys to be aware, be alert of what's going on. But if you guys can take advantage of different things, I'm pretty sure they're going to print more money and they're going to give it to more businesses. So now would be a good time to go out there and start a business. There's obviously some stipulations in there that say you had to have your business started before COVID. But I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't know what the next round of stimulus is going to be for. You know, if you look at the $1.9 trillion, only a certain amount of it went to COVID, and then the rest of it went to some foolishness. You know what I mean? So you guys should look into that kind of stuff. But as of right now, I mean, the real estate market is super hot. It doesn't matter what you get. The inventory in the entire U.S. is one house a month nationwide. It's usually 3.5 nationwide. So if it's one house a month in inventory nationwide, that means in certain markets, there's no houses. So you got to think about the supply and demand. Just, you know, again, just basic economic supply and demand. If you can get a house and you can rehab it, or even if you can't rehab it, if you can go out there and bird dog and find a house, you can flip it to an investor and make about $5,000 or $10,000 just on wholesaling, because right now it's super hard to find houses. So if I were you guys, if you don't have the money to buy a house and rehab it, go out there and go on, you know, Zillow or Redfin or whatever you got to go on, and try to find properties and kick them to investors. You know what I mean? You can give them to real estate agents at this point, and they'll give them to investors because the market's so hot. You can even give it to an agent so they can list it. People are out here looking for properties all kind of ways, all on the MLS, because again, there's no foreclosures. So you can't get those properties like you could get, you know, a year ago that are about to go on foreclosure or REO properties, because there aren't any right now. So if you can find a deal or you can find a property somewhere, somehow, man, that's what I would be doing right now. Fortunately, you know, I mean, I've been doing this for a while, so I get people that just send me properties all the time, and I either try to rehab them or I funnel them to someone else for them to buy them. But anything I get, I mean, I'm just getting houses and putting them on a contract at this point. And if I can't flip them, then I'm going to wholesale them to somebody else. We'll see how long that's going to last, because I think the foreclosure memorandum ends June 30th. And if that happens, I would say, you know, you still have those houses that were already going into foreclosure before February. So they will probably hit the market quicker than the other properties that people just haven't paid their mortgage in, you know, a year or whatever. So I'm going to say if June, they lift this memorandum, let's say August, September, I'm going to say September is going to be a lot of houses in the market. I don't know what the inventory was for REOs or pre-foreclosures before February, you know, in 2020, but there's still going to be houses in the market by August. But I would say by the time September or October gets here, it's going to be a flood of properties to the market for people that haven't been able to pay their mortgages. Because you got to think, majority of the people that lost their jobs, it wasn't someone making $150,000 a year. It's service industry. You know what I mean? The U.S. economy is a service-driven economy. We don't produce anything here. And most of everything we do comes from servicing, like, you know, restaurants, driving Uber, you know, any things like that. We're a service-driven economy. So we don't produce anything here. And that's one of our major issues we have, because if we were producing things and they were printing money, then it would balance out, because we got something to trade. But we don't have anything to trade. We're a consumer nation. That's all we do is consume, and we don't produce anything. So if we're just printing money and we don't have anything to create to pay for that, and we just go out here and consume more and we just spend more money, I mean, you see the issue we have here. We're a consumer nation and we keep printing more money. We don't produce anything. So there's nothing that we can trade. We're trading money, or we're putting more money into the economy to get more products. And we're not producing anything to help with the trade deficit. So it's hard for us to charge more on our goods, because we don't have any goods. So we can't make more money off that. We can try to increase tariffs on other countries importing to the U.S. But the way we're printing money, who's going to want to do that? You know what I mean? Because our currency is becoming worthless. And right now the dollar has rebounded a little bit. So I think people should take advantage of the dollar being a little bit stronger right now and invest in Colombia. Like if you have money right now, there's a property that's fully furnished, fully rehabbed. I just got it maybe 2 days ago. It's $64,000. It's bringing in like $1,800 a month. I mean, if you do a cash out refinance, take out $60,000, or even somehow get a line of credit to be able to buy that, man, on $64,000, your mortgage payment is probably going to be like $200, $300. And then you would be cash flowing $1,800 to $2,000 in Columbia right now. And so that property that's 64, you know, a year ago, it's probably worth 75 or 80,000. But because their currency is being depreciated and our currency is still kind of strong, even though it's being depreciated, it's still stronger than Columbia's currency. You can take advantage of that right now. So this is what I mean, man. There's a lot of ways to take advantage of what's going on right now. I've said this many times on different podcasts. There's going to be so many millionaires that have come from COVID. I mean, it just has to be because if people took the money from the government, I know a couple of people that got 20 or 40 grand from the, what was that thing that they did with the SBA, the grants. And then there was an EIDL loan. I know people that got, you know, 20, 40 grand and they didn't need it. They just, you know, took it and put it in the bank because they applied for it and they got it. And it could have been based off their previous year's return and they just had a better year than the last year. So, I mean, there's just going to be so many people, like people that had Bitcoin. I mean, there's still a lot of people that killed it off Bitcoin because just in December, it was like $2,000 or $7,000 or $8,000 or something like that. And now it's at, you know, 50 something thousand. So a lot of people made big with that, but there's a lot of people making a lot of money in real estate. I know I'm killing it right now. About my goal this year is to flip between 50 to 60 houses. I mean, we're on pace. I mean, I just bought 1, 2, 3, 4. I think I just bought three, four houses in the last 2 weeks. And then at the start of the year, I sold like 3 or 4. So I'm already almost close to that 50 mark because it's like, man, the market's so high. So I'm being specific about the markets that I'm targeting. And I'm targeting those markets that have zero inventory. You know, that just makes sense. It's a no-brainer. It ain't rocket science. You know what I mean? You guys should look up what your inventory is in the market that you're in and see what it is. If it's one or zero, then you need to be out there trying to find properties because as soon as you get it, someone's going to buy it. And nationwide, you know, people are at least 10 or 15 to 20% over asking price. If you're in South Florida, like 26, 27%. You know what I mean? So I think you got to get in the right market. So I've been focused on Georgia a lot in Florida. I mean, I bought a bunch of land in Florida. I'm going to buy some more. And then I've been focusing on Colombia. So a lot of things that I'm doing, I'm taking money from the U.S. and buying in Colombia. I have relationships with international investors that are looking to buy in Colombia. So right now is the time. And then
when you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online, schedule package pickups through the dashboard, and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You got to think we're about to go through a commodity super cycle. So even if we get a bunch of REO properties that hit the market, you would think that the market might tank a little bit. But I don't think so, because you got to look at a house is like a bunch of commodities, wood, steel. So you have lumber, steel, and things like that. You know, you use that stuff to create a house. Right now, these prices are so inflated because there's a break in the supply chain. And so all of these goods are going up. The cost of lumber is like quadrupled or something crazy. Same thing with steel. You know what I mean? All of these things are up and they're going to continue to be this way because there's a break in the supply chain because of COVID. And so now the demand is going to be coming back, but the demand's already here for houses. So if you look at a house like a box of commodities, because that's basically what it is, even if we do get a bunch of REO properties, the housing prices are still going to go up because we're getting inflation and the cost of goods is going up. So the prices of houses has to go up to keep up with inflation because the builders going to have to charge more because they're getting hit for the cost of whatever they're buying to build the house. So same thing with rehabbing. You know, the contractor is going to charge more. So everything's going to be more. So even if we do get people are talking about a housing crash, I don't see it. I mean, we might get way more houses that hit the market, but we need those houses. So I think we're at a $4 million deficit. I'm sorry, we're at a 4 million home deficit in the U.S. We've been that way for the past, you know, 3 or 4 years, maybe longer. So we need the houses. So I don't really think there's going to be a housing collapse. I think, you know, it's just going to give people more houses. I think the market's still going to keep getting inflated. I think we're going to be in this run for the next 2 or 3 years. So I think real estate is where you should be at. I really don't know what's happening with the stock market. You know what I mean? It's so temperamental. It's up and down. That's why I'm not really investing in tech. I'm only investing in commodities. And you guys heard me say that all the time. And even my commodities, gold took a huge dip. Oil took a huge dip. But all of these things bounced back. But Monday, there was a huge dip in the market. Then by Friday, S&P's broke a record, Dow 500, 600 points up. So I think you got to diversify. I think you got to diversify with currencies. You got to diversify through countries, whether they be buying real estate or starting a business. I'm starting a business, you know, another business in Colombia that's not even real estate related. So you just got to be diverse in your investing. So, I mean, I would try to get currencies in Asia, get real estate in like Latin America because it's booming and it's struggling really, really bad right now. So there's good deals there. And then you diversify in stocks. I mean, I have some tech stuff. I mean, I got CBS and Tencent Music, which is still in China. I think, you know, CBS as in boy, they're in the U.S. So, I mean, I'm kind of all over the place with, I got some stuff that's in Brazil. So I'm really diverse, Canada, a lot of things like that. I just don't have all my eggs in one basket. One thing I'm thinking about doing, though, is taking money that I am, because my portfolio, it'll swing like $3,000 or $4,000 in a day. Super annoying, by the way. So what I'm thinking about doing is selling a bunch of stocks because I'm making so much money in real estate right now, you know, $30,000-$40,000 per property. So, I mean, my stock portfolio, it might take me 3 or 4 months to make, you know, $30,000 or $40,000. So I'm thinking about just pulling out a bunch of cash and just going on a buying spree in real estate and then putting that back into the stock market after I get to what I'm thinking about doing is once these REOs hit the market, then I'll put my money back into the stock market. But as of right now, I think I'm going to cash out and then just start buying a bunch of properties because once the REOs hit, I'm in flip. Right now, the economy is a flip economy because there's no houses. So the market is demand is ridiculous right now. So you shouldn't be out here doing anything but trying to find properties to rehab and flip. Until these REOs hit the markets, that's when you might be thinking about buying and holding and then getting some rental properties under your belt. Because right now it wouldn't make sense because, again, no one's getting evicted. No one's getting foreclosed on. So it wouldn't even make sense for you to go out here and try to start buying rentals because you run the risk of not knowing if people are going to, for one, have jobs or if they're going to pay rent. So I wouldn't even go out here and do that right now. This is not that kind of economy. It's not a flip economy. It's not a rental economy right now, unless you already had the property. I mean, because there's certain places that are, you know, that need renters. I mean, that need properties for people to rent. But I just don't think right now is the time as a whole to use that kind of strategy in real estate. I think you just need to, you know, buy and flip, keep flipping and wholesaling right now. And so back to my point, I'm going to more than likely, you know, sell a lot of my stocks and then just buy real estate and just do a bunch of flips. And then when the REOs hit the market, then I'm gonna park that money back after I do a couple more flips and then start doing buying and holds and doing the cash flow thing. So I had a bunch of houses in the beginning of COVID. I sold, you know, all of them to get liquid so I could buy stocks. And that's kind of what I did. I shot it short by like 2 months with getting rid of everything. But that was just because COVID hit and people were like panicking and not you know, there were no one was buying a house because they didn't know what was going to happen. But anyway, I still got in there at a good time. My portfolio is up 180%. And that's because I sold a lot of stuff that was up by like 2,000%. Like my CBS, I bought CBS at $25 and it went up to, I think, 100. I played that a bunch of times. I mean, I bought it at 22. I had a strike price of 53. Got out, got back in, put a strike price of 65, hit that one. Got out, got back in, had a strike price of like 92, hit that one. And then I'm like, you know what? I'm done. You know what I mean? I rode CBS for months and killed it. I don't know how much money I made on CBS because I was on options at that. So I was just buying a bunch of options over and over and over again. I was selling, just reposition at a lower cost and I just killed it. And it's funny because CBS went from $90 and it just kept going up. It was parabolic. So anything that goes up like that must come down. So my last time selling when it was in the 90s or close to 100, I think it was at like 98 when I hopped out. Then it hit like 103. I wasn't mad, whatever. Man, that thing went down to $66 recently. And I knew it was going to happen. So what if I would have held on? You know what I mean? That's what people, you got to understand. You guys need to know when to hop out. It's like being at the casino in Vegas and people are on the roulette table and you killing it. You got to know when to stop. And a lot of people don't know when to stop and they end up losing all their money. So, you know, looking at charts, I knew, I was like, let me get out of here because this thing can't keep running like this. And sure enough, it's down to $68 now. I checked the other day. Friday was 68. So I killed that one, man. But other than that, I'm in a lot of commodities. Like I said, I'm in oil because we're in an inflationary environment and oil does really well with inflation. And I'm in gold. Gold should be performing well right now, but it's not because it's being manipulated. But I'm still buying. It's still cheap, so I'm still buying. So I got a bunch of gold, you know, junior miners, because that's what the leverage is. I'm in companies that are like 3 or 4 times leverage. That's what you should look for, 3 or 4 times leverage companies and junior miners, because that's where you know, they got a mine. They need to make this stuff. It's not like man. So look up junior miners. But anyway, I think if you guys have any money sitting on the sidelines, do the same thing. I think you should sell your stocks if you can. I mean, I'm not selling all my stocks, right? What I'm going to do, I'm going to sell a lot, but I'm going to keep certain positions because I can dollar cost average in. Because, for instance, I think I bought a stock that was $49 and right now it's $135. It's an oil company. And so anytime that I buy in, even though it's at $135, I bought it at $49. I bought a bunch at $49. So I dollar cost average in. So if I bought 10, I'm going to get it for like $49.60 or $49.80. And then, you know, if it goes to like 200, I'm going to buy in again. I'm getting it for like $50.80. So that's why I don't want to get rid of my position, because then I got to pay whatever the retail is now versus what I paid for it back then. And so that's why I'm only getting rid of a certain portion so I can get into to get more real estate. And so you guys think about that too. And I mean, I have Bitcoin. I sold pretty much all of my crypto, not all of it, but a majority of it, because if you look at crypto, crypto has plateaued. And so I got in Ethereum when it was somewhere in like 600s. I got in Bitcoin Cash when it was like 100 or 200 bucks. All of these I got in, and you see they go up to like, you know, 1900 to 2000, and they all come back down. That's a play that I'm just hopping in and out of. You can trade Bitcoin, because if you look at crypto every week, you should take a look at this. Thursday and Friday, people sell off hard. So take a look. Whenever you get a chance, look at Thursday and Friday. You'll see a massive sell-off, and then you'll see it start to go back up Saturday or Sunday or Monday. So that's just a play you can do all the time. The stock market is not that volatile, and you can't predict it like you can with cryptocurrency. That's just something that I picked up on maybe like 5 months ago. So then I sold my crypto, and I bought some land in Orlando. And so I looked at crypto yesterday and it's still doing the same thing it was doing 4 months ago. So there's no rush for me to get in there. And even if it goes on a run, say it goes from 2000 to 2500 to 3 grand, it's because it's not going to go from, you know, 1900 to 10 grand in a month or 2 months, at least not Ethereum. Bitcoin could do that, but it's going to come back down too. So, I mean, I can, you know, take that money and go buy some land, sell the land a lot faster, or sell the property a lot faster than what crypto does. And I can just buy back in when the time is right, and, you know, just play that. Because the only reason I'm even buying crypto stocks or anything like that is because you're not getting any money putting your money in the bank. I think you're getting 0.01. So what's the point of you even doing that? And they're printing so much money, your currency worth less and less. So why would you leave your money in a bank and get 0.01 when you can put it in crypto and it's going to fluctuate? I mean, but if it fluctuates, let's say it fluctuates 5% in a negative, but then 2 days later, it fluctuates 20% in a positive. In your bank account, you're doing 0.01. So who cares? You know what I mean? So put your money in crypto or put your money in stocks. And preferably, I think crypto is probably a little bit safer because you know it's going to fluctuate and it's going to go between a certain point. I think stocks, the market can potentially crash. And so if you have your money in there that you can't lose, then I probably wouldn't do that. But I think crypto is pretty safe for you to park your money in there and just let it go up and down. Because again, if you got in it, it went negative 5%, then it went up 20% 3 days later, you're in a positive 15%. And on your bank account, you wouldn't have been nowhere near close to that. So keep that stuff in mind when you're sending your money in the bank. It's nothing's going to happen. I would be hard pressed to think crypto, well, not crypto. Let me stop saying that. I would be hard pressed to think Bitcoin or Ethereum is going to drop back down to like $600. If it does, it'll be in like 5 or 6 months. But there's so many institutional investors into it now, I don't see that happening unless the government tries to regulate it, which they are trying to do right now. So that's the only time I could see Bitcoin or anything like that being super risky in terms of like losing your money. So I mean, just, you know, be alert, watch the news. And like you saw with XRP going to court, you know, be on the lookout for anything like that. I mean, if you're an investor, I mean, you should be looking at this stuff every day. I mean, I watch CNBC every single day. I mean, I don't watch it. I check the app and I see what's going on in the market, because the reason I don't watch the channel like I used to is because they try to control the narrative. And when I was watching it, I was making dumb decisions with stocks because they're like, oh my God, the market's doing this, the market's doing that. But I later found out that a lot of these, you know, networks are owned by hedge funds. And so obviously they're only going to bring on people that are going to go with the same narrative that they have. So they're not going to bring somebody on there that's going to go against what they're saying that people should be doing. So again, hedge funds own these networks and they have people on the board and all of these things. So after I realized that stuff, I stopped and my portfolio has done amazing. So I don't really watch it. I mean, I know enough to make my own decisions. You know, you kind of want an expert to tell you something, but you do your own research, become educated and be your own expert. That's pretty much what I did. So now I don't really need anybody else to tell me what to do. All you got to do is understand economics and everything else will make sense. You only invest in things that you know about. You know what I mean? If you know about tech, you know what's coming, invest in specific tech companies that you know about. I mean, I know about economics. I know about commodities. That's what I'm investing in. And then I know about Tencent and music. You know, they're starting a music group. They're starting some kind of thing in China with Warner Music. That's obviously going to be great for Tencent. So, I mean, you just got to know what you're investing in. So yeah, but you should be looking at this stuff. If you don't look at it every day, man, look at it every other day so you can be alert on what's going on with your investments. And so, yeah, man, I'm telling you guys, I think something's coming. I don't know what's coming, but I just feel it. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But if I'm not wrong, I got a plan B. I got a whole network in Medellin now, man. I mean, a bunch of friends, business relationships, banks. I'm in there, man. And so, you know, my plan is to be over there every 2 weeks or twice, 2 weeks every month for the next however long until I can get my business visa. So if anything should happen in the U.S., I'm good. I'm out of here, man. I'm good. I know I can go. I know all the rules and what to do in Colombia. Now I know how long I got to be there in order to apply for the visa. I know how long I got to be there to open an account. If you're just doing some regular stuff, but considering what I'm doing and who I linked up with, now I can get an account for free. But any of this information, man, if you guys want it, you know, feel free to reach out to me and I'll give it to you. You should guys go to realestateinvestingdiet.com. Realestateinvestingdiet.com. That's one of my websites where I provide a lot of information about many different things. So we're doing a refresh on the 29th or the 30th. And there's a bunch of articles about inflation, commodities, investing, real estate. It's a free platform. If you guys are interested in real estate and investing, you should be on there. You should be on that website hard, because there's a lot of knowledge, a lot of articles that I put together about forbearances, stimulus, anything. I mean, you guys should check it out. And it's realestateinvestingdiet.com. So guys, I went on a ramble, but I think I just had to get some of this stuff off my brain, because I'm telling you, man, when I went out of the country and came back, it was a weird feeling, man. Super weird. I've never felt it before, and I've been gone many times. So you guys just need to be alert. I'm not a fearmonger, but I do follow history. I do follow patterns. I do follow energy, and the energy that is going on right now is intensifying. And I've seen this chart. I think Ray Dalio did a chart where it was showing the last time we had a civil war in the U.S., it showed the peak. It showed a chart of the tension in the U.S. And it showed the tension in the U.S. in 2021. Or it was 2020 when I've seen it. They were at the same level as when the Civil War popped off back when we had the last one. So I don't know, man. You got this incident in Colorado that happened at the grocery store. And then we had an incident, I think it was Philly or somewhere else, where 11 people just got murdered yesterday. I mean, this is, man, I don't know, man. A lot of stuff's going on. I think you guys should prepare, come up with a plan B. It's real easy to move around right now in Latin America. A lot of places like Costa Rica, for example, that had really, really low cases. So that's a good place to go. It's super cheap. Your money goes a lot further there. They're booming too. Their economy's booming. Guanacaste on the west side of Costa Rica is a great area to buy real estate in. I was really hard on Costa Rica and wanting to get properties there. I still might, but I just see the opportunity in Medellin being a lot better because a lot more people with more money come to Medellin. And it's also the digital nomad. It's almost like the Silicon Valley of Latin America. So, I mean, you'll have probably a faster appreciation in Medellin than you would in Costa Rica, but Costa Rica's still good. There's a lot of people that are going there and staying and doing the digital, you know, work from home life over there. So I think you guys should look in that. Look at Costa Rica. Obviously, look at Medellin. Look at Cartagena. But, you know, figure out what you got to do to get a residence visa. In Colombia, you got to pay $90,000 for a property. You get a 3-year visa. And then if you drop 112, I think you would get a 5-year visa. And if you keep that property and you renew the visa after 5 years, then you get a permanent residency. So I think you guys should look at all of this. Look at whatever country you're interested in and see if you can get that permanent residence. Because if anything should happen and you get to, you know, head out and go wherever you go, you got your permanent residence and they'll let you in. They'll let you in. It's not like it's a passport and like, nah, bro. You know, you're from the U.S. You can't get in here. But if you got at the least, you got the residency, then you're good. I mean, you're basically one of them and they're going to let you in. So I think you guys should just think about not only diversifying your income, but diversify in countries for your own livelihood and for your own family's livelihood. You know what I mean? So I know if anybody, and even my friends, now they've been coming to Colombia a couple of times and they're trying to get their little circle. But anybody, man, that I'm close to, if something happens, they can obviously come with me to Colombia and they're going to be straight because I know what I'm doing, man. I've been there, been going there a bunch of times over the past 3 years. So I think you guys should find a place where you want to go and do that same thing. It doesn't got to be Colombia, but find a country that your currency goes a lot further and you want to, you know, build a second life there should anything happen. And if it doesn't happen, then that's cool, right? You still got this place to go that's not in the U.S., that you can go there and focus and get stuff done, or you just got this circle of family or friends in another country. So if anything should happen, you're still good. You still can go over there and not be worried about like, oh man, I'm in a new country. I don't know nobody. I don't speak the language. It's chaos. It's crazy. Nah, man. If you get your stuff established now, if anything should pop off, it's just going to be like you being at home, but just at home in another country. So guys, get prepared for what they say. If you stay ready, you don't got to get ready. So, you know what I mean? Go ahead and prepare for whatever could come. And if it doesn't come, you've already prepared and you already have something set up. But anyway, I thank you guys. Hopefully it's not another 2 or 3 weeks before I can do another podcast. But again, we're coming to the finish line on the app. The app should be in the market soon. And the book is coming out in the next couple of weeks. And then I got to try to get ready for the next book and a couple other seminars. But if you guys found this information useful, man, share it with your friends, man. I think, you know, get the word out, share the podcast with other people. You know, I don't get anything from it. I just feel like if you know better, you do better, and you want other people to benefit from the stuff that I've learned over the course of time. So pay it forward. you do the same thing. Pay it forward to somebody else if you found it helpful. So thank you guys for listening, and I will catch you guys on the next episode. Peace.
Aren't you ready to start a business or grow your real estate investing portfolio? If you answered yes, allow Andre and the expert advisors at the Residual Roads Business Institute to fast track and put you on a path to full-time investing. The greatest transfer of wealth in our lifetime is occurring over the next few years, and you can take advantage if you know what to look for. In order to be successful at real estate investing, you need to learn how to leverage your current resources to generate quick money, big money, and retirement money. Let Residual Roads advisors craft a plan to get you through these phases using little or no money in 6 months or less. Don't wait for a job. Create one for yourself and others. Go to residualroads.com for mentorship, and for our free course, go to residualroads.thinkific.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.